Creating Your Own Way. That's what's coming up on The Art of Bombing, episode 216.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, 'cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Hello, friends, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Art of Bombing. Dan Bublitz Jr. here with you. It is Tuesday, August 17th, 2021. I hope you are having a fantastic week thus far. I hope you had a great week since the last time I was here with you in your ears, coming out of your earbuds or your speakers or wherever you listen to this great podcast. Today on the show, we got a great show. I am joined by Minneapolis-based comedian and hip-hop artist, John X, and we had a great conversation. I'm excited to share that with you. Before we get into that, a couple things. We got to take care of that housekeeping, you know, all the house cleaning and keeping and things that are coming up, the business, if you will. First thing on the agenda, we're going to talk about some upcoming shows. I don't have any more shows coming up. Where I'll be on the road. Everything I'm doing here in the next couple weeks is more local because I had another gig get canceled, unfortunately. That's what happens, but it is what it is. But I do have some local stuff coming up Thursday, August 19th. I will be at Dunn Brothers Coffee here in Minnesota. And then on Monday, I believe it's Monday, August 23rd, I will be at the world-famous Monday Night Comedy Show, the longest-running comedy show in Minneapolis at the Spring Street Tavern. And then after that, I have my big album recording in my basement. It's Strangers in My Basement album recording. And that's what I'll be working on the next couple of weeks, getting all the final edits in for that. That is a free show, and it is open to the public-ish. You know, as long as you're, you know, if you know somebody on the show or you know me and you want to come, let me know. But the best way to get tickets for that is to go to blitzedentertainment.com and you can grab your tickets for that. It is a free event and it's a free show. Bring your own booze. It's a BYOB and it's going to be a good time. There's two shows, one on Friday, one on Saturday. If I need to do a third show, I might do a third show. But right now, we've got a show on Friday, August 27th, and a show on Saturday, August 28th. And then on August 29th, I will be at the House of Comedy with my storytelling show called Exposed. And tickets for that are at moa.houseofcomedy.net. You can get tickets for that if you'd like to go to that. And that features a whole lineup of great Minneapolis-based comedians, or Twin Cities-based comedians that'll be on that show. It'll be a good time. So those are some upcoming shows. Again, all information for my stand-up comedy shows are always on my website, danbublitz.com. You can go check that out there. I want to remind everybody we are running a hat contest through the month of August, so there's still time to get in on this. It is a random drawing, and how you get registered for the drawing is by sharing our social media content. That could be by retweeting our tweets on Twitter. It could be sharing our posts on Facebook. It could be sharing our Instagram stories through your stories. Those are the ways you share our social media. Or another way that you can get entered into this drawing is you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and then a review. You have to leave the review so I know that it was done. You leave a review, say some nice words about the podcast, and you'll get registered. And the best part about this contest is you can register as many times as you want. So as long as you're sharing our content, you're going to get registered. Now, you can't share the same post over and over again, but when you see us post something different, go ahead and share it and help us spread the word about the podcast, and you could be rewarded. At the end of the month, we're going to draw for a winner. One lucky winner is going to get an official Art of Bombing cartoon logo hat, and it'll be announced on the podcast, so they'll get mentioned on the podcast. if you have a bomb that you want to tell me and you haven't had a chance to be on the show yet, you can go to the website, artofbombingpod.com. Go to the Submit a Bomb page. You can either call the Bomb Squad hotline. There's an actual number you can call. It only records for 3 minutes, goes right to voicemail. Keep that in mind. Leave your message there. Tell me your story. I might play it on an episode, or you can write it out. It might be featured in the monthly newsletter, which, by the way, you can sign up for the monthly newsletter on the website. That's a good place to do that. You can take care of all of that. And if you don't want to try to win the hat, you can always buy your own hat too. That's another way you can help the show, by supporting us and wearing our merch. And our merch is available on the website as well. And last couple of things here before we get into this great conversation with John. You can support us financially if you like by subscribing to our podcast through the paywall. You can, or not our podcast, our Patreon is what I meant to say, and that's Art of Bombing Pod. The link's on the website, but I'm sorry, it's patreon.com/artofbombingpod. That's what I'm trying to say. Or you can support me via Buy Me a Coffee at D-Bub Comedy. You can leave a tip if you like what we're doing here on the show. But again, the best way that you're going to support the show is by leaving that 5-star rating, leaving a review, sharing our content, helping people discover this this podcast. We've been going for 4 years, and we do have a great listenership, but there's always room to grow. And that's what we got to do. We got to grow so people want to keep hearing the show. All right, that's all I got this week. I hope everybody has a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. And in the meantime, here's my conversation with John X. Enjoy!
And now, it's time for the stand-up soundbite.
You ever see somebody say ugly and make you reevaluate how ugly you think you are? You'd be like, damn, that nigga gotta be like a 2, so if he a 2, I gotta be like a 6.5. I thought I was a 4. I would have jumped up 2.5 points on my mans, though. You know what I'm saying? And what be crazy, they be having one of the baddest chicks, you feel me? Like, just look at life, you know what I'm saying? Jay-Z got Beyonce. Now, Jay-Z looked like the main character from Shark Tales. Like, am I not lying? Like, Jay-Z looks like he swallowed all of Beyonce every time he kissed her. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can even go back in the day. Biggie Smalls had, what's his name? Faith Evans. Biggie Smalls had Faith Evans.
And Lil' Kim.
This nigga Biggie had 2 lazy eyes. Both of Biggie's eyes was lazy as hell. The motherfuckers was just hanging, dude. They was just chilling, man.
So you host your own open mic on Mondays, the Black Sheep Comedy, that's correct, right?
Yep. That's down at the Creative Space over in St. Paul. It's been kind of slow lately, but during the pandemic, we were like 30 comics in that thing.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things have been opening up now, so I suppose that's
exactly.
More competition.
Everything on Monday. Yeah, and I don't really look at it as like competition. I just look at it as people have other places where they feel that they can showcase their talents or practice or get better. So I love it.
No, that's great. How did you get involved with the Creator Space? Just out of curiosity. Because until you guys started doing that open mic there, I'd never heard of this place. And then I went down there and I was like, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah, so I work with a team that does entertainment just all over the Twin Cities. They've been doing it for years. And they got involved with the Creator Space a few years ago. And then I locked in the space right before COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was going to be Thursday nights. And then when COVID hit, you know, everything was shut down for like, so we didn't end up being able to get started until November. But yeah, so, the team that I work with, they had already, reached out to the people and said, hey, we want to do, a comedy, thing here. And then they wanted to pair it with, they have the coffee place on Thursdays, but then it was just kind of like too much going on. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, you guys can do Monday nights because it'd be like, kind of like a private event, so almost like a speakeasy.
Yep.
And you know, no one else would really know about it. And so like when the restrictions were going like back and forth, up and down, like oh, no one can meet, or 10 people can meet, you know, we're in there 20 deep, like no one knows.
Super secret.
So yeah, so, but yeah, the owner's pretty dope lady. The space was created for, recovering addicts and people that, you know, that were, in like, you know, 12 step programs and stuff like that. And so the space itself is more for like healing and giving people a space to, you know, just express themselves artistically. And so you have like pottery that goes on in there. You have people that paint. You can take photos, videos. They have, like a yoga studio, a dance studio. They have different classrooms and stuff like that. And they have like this dope ass salt room where you just sit there. It's like, I don't know if you know anything about like those salt rocks, but like,
no.
But like, yeah, it's like a wall of salt and like you can feel like your energy and chi. I don't know. It's like,
really?
Yoga.
Wow, that's
yeah,
interesting.
It's super dope. Like you feel like all your woes are being lifted and you're like, man, this is dope.
That's awesome. No, I didn't know about that room. From what I've seen of the space, it's very impressive. They do a lot of different things.
Yeah,
there.
Man. It's like when I bring people, they're like, I love this. Why did you never bring me here before? I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know why.
Yeah, and the coffee's pretty good too. I went to the coffee shop once. And
yeah, man.
And I was like, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, Guillermo's a super cool dude. I don't know if Guillermo gave you coffee, but
I don't know the name. I went there once, so I don't know him that well. But
yeah, no, they super cool up in there.
Yeah, the food was good too. I think I had a burrito, I think, there, and it was actually pretty good. I was, you know, because you never know when you get certain kind of foods from different places. It's like, oh, am I taking a risk or what?
Oh, yes. All the time. I just ate a ribbon, a bone-in ribeye from Outback before I came here, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Some of it was okay. The other part, I was like, I'm going to just eat it all because you can't just waste money.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if it was from Outback. It's like,
yeah.
Sometimes their steaks are a little spendier. So it's like, I don't want to waste this.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm going to just eat it all. $30 steak. But yeah,
that's great. Have you been doing any other shows aside from your, you know, hosting your own mic and stuff?
Right now, I really haven't. People book. Matter of fact, I have a show this Saturday. That a friend reached out to me. And the only reason I'm doing this because they have like some people coming out from like you know some big wigs coming out to come and check it out, and then it's like a private gig. And, they're doing, it's like a infusions, you know, marijuana infused food.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that. I don't smoke anymore or partake in any extracurricular activities. I'm old. I got kids. So I'm, but yeah, so it's like, yeah, I'm just there just to make fun of people while they're high. So that's, but other than that, no, I haven't really been, really focusing on actually, being a part of any shows, being booked for any shows. I'm right now focusing on getting shows put together so I can start booking, some of the comedians that I've been seeing, that I know are doing well, that I'm like, okay, I could definitely, you know, put them on a show and give them a good opportunity just to see that, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can start taking this more serious as a comic.
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose too, because you do DJing and stuff too, so you probably work with all kinds of venues.
I just DJ weddings. I'm not even like a real DJ. I just grab some equipment so I can look cool. But no, so I'm actually working on more, just doing more with DJing. I'm a person where, if I don't like how other people do things, then I'm like, I want to do it. So then I know how I want to do it, you know?
Yep.
So I've done, a ton of shows. We used to do shows at Honey before it closed down. Underground Music Cafe. That's where the Crane is.
Yep.
And a bunch of other places and not just comedy. You know, just all different types of shows, music shows, poetry slams, things like that. And so as a host, that's my main thing is I'm a host, you know? And so, I just don't like when DJs feel like it's about them. And I'm like, yo, like.
That happens a lot when you bring in a DJ for, and not like, I'm not talking wedding DJs. I'm talking about DJ. You bring in a DJ for like a comedy show. It happens almost every time a comic will say something and that DJ will have to do something.
And then the comic's like, what are you doing? This is my time.
Like all I need for the DJ to do is play music in the beginning and then play a snippet of the song when I introduce the person and play a snippet of a song when that person gets off the stage. That's all I need you to do. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Cause like what DJs don't understand is that we are pressed for time. We're already behind, you know? We're black. We started this show 30 minutes after. 30 minutes after the flyer, after the flyers, you know what I'm saying? So like people have been sitting here for 30 minutes listening to you play music. Like y'all, okay, they're done.
They're ready for laughs now.
We don't need time in between. And I already take up 5 minutes between each act. So like,
people you're one of them hosts.
Exactly. You know, like I mastered the art of hosting, you know, like. But then other people are like, yo, man, you be up there too long. And I'm like, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? But hey, that last person sucked. And you know what I'm saying? So the next person, I don't want that energy to carry on to that next person. Or like that last person killed it. And I don't think you can follow up behind that last person. I mean, let me get the crowd back to where you want it.
Reset the crowd.
Exactly. That's all.
Hit that reset button.
That's really what all being a host really is like smelling salt for the crowd. You know, it's like a little palate cleanser, and let's get the next person up. You know, and we'll talk later. You know, about some experiences I've had. You know, what I'm saying, where it just doesn't work sometimes. You know, you have different mixes of things, and you know the host doesn't know what they're doing, and then next thing you know, a comic's like, man, you know, so.
Yeah, it's definitely a skill set. I think, and that's something I always tell comics that they really should go and learn to host, because if you can learn to host and be good at it, you're gonna be fine any other spot on the show.
Man, I try to tell that to people all the time. Like people ask me, like, how do I have so much material? I'm like, because majority of it come from when I'm hosting. Like. A person, the difference between a person with 10 minutes of material and a person with 20 minutes of material is the person that has 20 minutes of material can hold the crowd longer, hold their attention longer, you know, and all you're doing is stretching that 10 minutes into 20 minutes. Like I can do an hour. I've done an hour and a half on stage, but
how'd that go?
Oh, that was
good. We'll get there. Okay.
We're gonna talk about it. But yeah, so that's the like when you're hosting, you learn how to hold a crowd's attention. Mm-hmm. And then once you learn how to hold a crowd's attention, it's like now you can incorporate that into your stand up. And so now you're taking a 3 minute joke and you can turn it into a 6 minute joke. And you know, you got 3 6-minute jokes. That's 20 minutes.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's 18, but we rounding up around here.
Well, yeah,
I went
you
to
got
Minneapolis Public School.
Laugh breaks. So, I mean, you got,
you know,
that extra 2 minutes is where you're, you know, that's accounting for laugh and applause breaks.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's accounting for you kind of like winging some stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Commenting on somebody in the front row. Like, it's all of those things combined. Like, when you go up there and you're like a robot, everyone's like, is this a robot on stage?
Yeah, what's,
you know, like, you know, yeah, man.
Yeah, there are definitely comics that you can tell they're like very scripted.
Yeah,
and they come off very like, oh yeah, is this a robot? They're just like reciting. Yeah. I used to be that comic. Like, I used to be very scripted when I first started, where like I used to write every word down, and then I remember, you know, I would memorize that, and if you
fumble. You're stumbling for the rest of the show. Yep. I tip it all the time. Like,
it's like an avalanche.
Yeah, like you got people that like, okay, I'm gonna tell my joke A, and then I got my transition A, and I got my joke B, and I got my transition B, and my joke C, and my transition C.
Yep.
And somewhere around transition B, you mess up or something, and then next thing you know, every joke after that sucks because you're trying to figure out what happened. Why did the crowd laugh? When you transition B is like my best transition, you know, and that's what you're thinking about the whole time. And so I warn comedians about, being too scripted. And then too scripted to the point where like you have a set that goes the same every time, you know, from start to finish.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think there's a difference between being scripted and prepared.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's what,
there's a line there. And that's one thing I learned over the years. Like I said, when I first started, I was very scripted. Now, when I perform, I'm prepared.
Yeah, you know the jokes that you want to say.
Yep.
And you can put those in at any time. Like, I feel like I have jokes where, like, I can transition from one joke to another joke and then And the next time I perform it, I can transition from the other joke into the, you know, like back and forth.
You can switch it around. Yeah, exactly. You know, different parts of your set.
Like sometimes I can cut a joke in half and then put another joke in between and then finish out the first joke at the end of the next joke. And it's like, yeah, like, oh man, he was talking about that. You know, like that's like that's how I feel like the style of comedy that everyone loves is that like you want to be that friend that's good with the storytelling.
Yep.
You know, like you know how you got that one friend, like you got all those friends that are like okay at telling stories, and you got that friend that really sucks, and you're like, hey, let Mike tell the story, okay? You know what I'm saying? Like Mike gonna give you the story. You gonna feel like he was there. Like you gonna tell the story, and we just gonna be like, what was the point of you telling the story? So
that's what everybody's asking.
Is this
story over yet?
Exactly. Like that's why I'm like, yo, man, you want to be like Mike, man. Like when Mike tell the story, you like, oh my man, you know what I'm saying? Hey, tell him about the, you know, like, hey, tell him about the part where, you know, like Mike, like, oh yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like that's how I look at like comedy that's universal, you know. I know it's like a lot of other comedians, they have like great it's great to have great writing and great, you know, timing and things like that. That's always great to have, but sometimes that doesn't work everywhere.
Nope,
you know, and I'm not saying storytelling works everywhere, but I'm just saying storytelling more universal, you know.
So, it is, and it I feel like when you're doing storytelling too, you can build a relationship with that, like having the likability.
Yeah.
Because chances are, whatever story you're telling, even though it's your story and something that happened to you or your friends or whatever it might be,
yeah,
chances are it's going to be relatable to the audience because it's going to be something that they've experienced.
Exactly.
Maybe not exactly. It's,
yeah, that's why I try to tell people, like, my like, people like, what kind of jokes do you tell? I'm like, relatability.
Relatable
ones. You know what I'm saying? Like, I tell jokes that, like, even if you can't relate to it personally, you understand from the unrelatability of it. You're like, oh, I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will never have to worry about that. Like, I have this one joke where I talk about, white people and guns is like black people with candles. And like, and so people are like, what? And like, black people know exactly what I'm talking about. And then like, when I talk about it, like, white people know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to guns. They're like, yeah, man, like, we go and we buy guns. We go to the range. We go have fun with them. You know, we
take them out on dates.
We don't think we'll ever have to shoot a person with these. And just like a black person, like, yo, man, like, yo, I come to your house. You got candles on. Like, did you pay your light bill? Like, you know, so it's like, yo. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, if a black person buying a gun, he's like, yo, I might need to use this tomorrow, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like white people are like, oh man, we're about to light these candles, be romantic.
I'm not buying this gun as an accessory.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, like,
it has a purpose.
Like, I just recently got my license to carry, man, and like now I have it everywhere I go, and I'm like, man, anything can happen, you know? Like, man, I gotta be on my P's and Q's, man. Like, I went to a funeral and saw somebody, and I was like, man, I'm glad I had this gun on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are like, yo, man, what you got your gun in here for? I was like, man, somebody just got killed at this church yesterday. Like, what do you mean?
You're like, why don't you have yours?
Exactly. Why am I the only one thinking today? Like, I know it's a funeral. Funerals are like a sad time. I get it, you know, but we are also on the north side of Minneapolis. Like,
be prepared.
Exactly. So I tell people all the time, like when people ask me, like, you know, anything, I'm like, yo, I got kids I gotta go home to, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a different world we living in, you know?
It
like,
definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, obviously, when you get into that kind of those topics, I don't know a lot about that because I don't have to worry about it. But I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine. Like, even saying that, it's like, I can't because I will never know. But I can acknowledge that I can't. You know what I mean?
Like, and that's the relatability right there. Like, when you're telling them jokes that where you feel like, oh, this crowd's not going to relate to what I'm talking about. Like, no, they won't. But the understanding of like, yo, like, I'm glad I don't got to think about that type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Makes something funny, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. Cause, and even in that case, you know, you're making it, you might make the audience feel uncomfortable, and then that's sometimes, that's where humor comes
yeah,
from.
Yeah, man.
That uncomfortability. You know, it creates that tension.
You know, like, I did a set over at the Crane a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, I bought a gun recently, and I was like, and I'm pretty sure I know what Seth is thinking or hoping that I say next is that I don't have it on me. And I just kept moving, but like people kind of like chuckle because they're like, wait, does he got it on him?
Now they're like waiting. They're wait, like, on, wait, is he doing comedy or is this show and tell?
Is this real?
Do we get to see this now? What's going on? Yeah. Let's see this.
It's a great time.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's talk about what this podcast is about is the bombing. I'd love to hear a story about
the
time.
And that's, yeah. So,
I'm very interested in this.
The first time as a comic, I don't really see bombing at like open mics as like bombing. Like people, oh man, I bombed at open mic. Like, no, man, you learn it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like I've been on real shows and, I was on this show where it was a contest. It was a poetry, slam poetry and stand up contest.
That's and an odd, like, combination for a contest.
Exactly. The oddest for a contest. And so. And so, I don't know if you know anything about, like radio stations, but the, one of the people from 89.9, she was the host. And there was another person that was hosting with her. And so they were kind of hosting together. And so if you're not in sync as host, you can ruin the show. And so.
Gotta have that chemistry.
And so, yeah. And so, the show kind of started off where people were doing okay. And like, you know, when like, you're at a show and like no one wants to like boo or like say anything. You know what I'm saying?
Just sit there
like
everyone uncomfortable.
Exactly. And so about four or five acts in, one of the hosts gets on stage and goes, "Man, y'all know if y'all don't like these people, y'all can boo." You know?
Oh no!
Exactly. Right. And then from there on, the next three people got booed. Like it was a comedian that got booed. It was a poet that got booed. And so like. Once you have that energy in the room, everything else after that is like, it's like a domino effect.
Yep.
And so now it's like, no one's giving anybody an opportunity to really say anything. And so, a few more acts passed, and I'm in the crowd, you know, and I'm talking, I got my homies with me, you know what I'm saying? There's some like other people. I'm like, yo, I'm finna kill this, you know what I'm saying? It's $500 mine, like, I'm the funniest guy here, but I already know I'm the funniest guy here, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, check me out, you know what I'm saying? Like, you like comedy? Oh, I'm finna win this, you know what I'm saying? I'm finna be the winner, okay? It's your boy, right? And so, this lady goes up and she does her poem. You know, and I'm like, okay, it's a decent little poem. You know what I'm saying? And then you get to listening to what she's talking about, right? And her poem was about, black guys with big dicks. That was her poem, right?
Yeah.
Like, and she was just like talking about, you know what I'm saying? Just making it cool. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, man, you know, I'm happy to be a black guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is dope, you know? And I was like, man, I hope I don't have to follow that. You know what I'm saying? Cause like the crowd was 90% women. And so if you know anything about comedy, you want to know your crowd. And like I was saying about earlier about, being prepared and versus like being scripted, I was like, oh man, I have. And so they were giving everybody like 7 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like if you're a comedian, like 7 minutes, I was like, oh, I got 7 minutes I can just do. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I'm going to start off with this joke and I'm going to just lead it into, you know what I'm saying? Do my thing. And, so all the women are like cheering for this big dick poem, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, like, oh yeah, girl, you know what I'm saying? You did your thing. Oh, tell, you know, right? And then so without skipping a beat, the host gets on stage and goes, give it up, you know what I'm saying, for the last person, woohoo, woohoo, you know what I'm saying? And without like dying the crowd down or anything, it was like, all right, now we got a comedian coming up next. And then they introduce me, right? And so if you know anything about the poorhouse, we're at the poorhouse, there's like a stairway to get up off the stage before you go to the stairs to get down.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm coming onto the stage, the host is coming off the stage and she hugs me and I'm like, girl, you smell good as hell. And she falls.
Oh no.
So the host falls, but from outside, it looks like this nigga just pushed her. You know, this nigga just chip hurt? You know, like I get, like as soon as I get on stage. And so, and then another thing about DJs, right? The DJ got the music just playing and I'm just like, okay, well, you gonna stop playing the music, DJ. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, like, I came in there with this energy of, like, oh, I'm finna kill it, you know? And the DJ just played the music too long. And I was like, hey, cut the music, you know? And the first thing I said, not even realizing my crowd, I go, man, 98% of women is crazy.
Oh, no.
I'm like, hey, 98% of all women is crazy. The other 2% is blind or deaf. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my joke, right? And they go, huh? And I go, like, not all women is like, cut a nigga dick off crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, why you got on matching socks? You must be finna go, you know, fucking other bitch crazy, you know? And like, and it was just not, man.
You were, you know, done what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah, right. And then I look and I'm like, yep. I should have started with something different. I just followed Big Dick Girl and and then I just went and called all these women in here crazy. And it's 90% women in the crowd. And so, like, I can see, like, my homie in the back was, he was like, hey man, this my guy, man. He's super funny, man. Trust me. He gonna do his thing. I could just see him go like, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, he goes from my body's super funny to be like, I don't know who this guy is.
Exactly. I mean, I felt like Jesus, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, Peter. And they're like, hey, don't get all us in trouble. You know what I'm saying? So like, so, you know, once you get that little initial, like, all right, damn, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, I can win them back. You know what I'm saying? So I started trying to work on, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of getting back into the groove. You know what I'm saying? I forgot what my set was, but yeah. And then like that second joke, I was starting it off and I'm pretty sure it was about women and they were like, man, boo, boo, right? And I'm like, yo, no, give me a chance, man. I'm funny, you know? And like, I just feel like I never got that opportunity to really show that I was funny. But then it was like, yo, like, you came up there, you know what I'm saying, too cocky, you know what I'm saying? And then the first joke was like, yo, let me disrespect every woman in here. You
right
know
after
what I'm
it
saying?
Looked like I pushed a woman.
Exactly. So, man, it was just so many factors that just was like, yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? This is not your set. And I was like, and like, that was like the first time I feel like I ever like actually bombed, you know? Like, I feel like I always get like, you know, enough laughs to be like, okay, that's a good set, you know? But yeah, that was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody laughed, not one person laughed. And they like, just, as soon as I started that second, boo. But my next joke is, you know, 50% of all marriages are ended in divorce nowadays. And I was like, I know it sounds cool. No, 51%. And I was like, I know it sounds cool, like you got a chance, but you got to understand 25% of marriages end in brutal homicide. Boy, them crickets was there. They was, and the next thing you know, somebody was like, boo, yeah, boo. And then everyone was booing. And then, even my homie was like, yeah, bro, you got to get off the stage.
Did you make it to the end of your set, or did you just like, okay, I'm done?
No, yeah, I did. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I pushed through, you know, and yeah. Like, I got to the point where they weren't booing anymore, where they were like, okay, maybe we should have gave him a chance, but it was too late, you know, you know what I'm saying? I feel like by the end, you know, like, I didn't win him back, you know what I'm saying? But they stopped booing. They was like, okay, you should have started off with this, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, like, you know what? You should have started off with this first. And I'm like, man, I knew I should have started off with this.
Yeah. I actually saw a comic the other day, was doing a set, and he did a little, when he got up on stage, he did a riff off the previous comic, and he made a joke that, it was a funny joke, but I think the crowd thought it was a little too offensive.
Oh, wow.
And, like, he immediately lost the crowd.
Yeah.
And the person he made the joke about, obviously, not offended
didn't
at all.
Didn't even care, yeah.
Didn't care, could care less, but what was neat to watch, though, is that he tried to do a joke and realized that the audience was not going to go with him.
Yeah.
And so he just stopped. He's like, all right, let's acknowledge what happened. I came up here obviously too aggressive. The comic here, he says his name, he's like, he didn't care. It's fine. It's a joke.
Man,
let's start over.
That's,
and then the crowd start they were on board.
That's
with him.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do in those situations. Sometimes you just but as comics, sometimes you're too afraid to even try, you know, like you're like, man, I gotta trust in my material, you know?
Yep.
And like that's why I like being a host, because like being a host, I don't got no material, you know? Like,
I'm just gonna go talk.
Exactly, you know.
And nobody came to see me.
Exactly. Like that's the thing, is that like I'm either funny or I'm not funny, but it doesn't really matter because I'm the host.
Yeah. You know? Yep. Like, nobody's gonna remember me.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So in hindsight, I looked at that moment as a learning moment, and as like, yeah, I really gotta, you know, practice what I preach. I always tell people, know your crowd, you know your audience, you know what they want to listen to, know what they want to hear, you know. And
yep.
And when things aren't going the way you plan them to go, you know, take that other direction, you know. And I was like, no, nah, man, I got my solid 7 minutes. I'm gonna keep going.
I'm gonna win this $500.
Exactly. And I definitely didn't win it, and I was like, man. But I was happy for the person that won it. He was a cool guy. It was Kwame. Well, he goes by Quamity. Yeah. And so, yeah, we went down to Mankato together. He's a super cool guy, you know. But if I wouldn't have messed up, I would have won that fight. I don't care what nobody said. I'd have won that.
If I would have been able to read that crowd a little better, I would have had it.
Man, I swear, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm curious. You said your longest performance you've done on stage was an hour and a half. How did that go for you?
So,
that's a long time.
Yeah. So I was, I used to be a part of this comedy club down in Mankato. And we started doing like small events.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that was part of that, he was going to school to be a teacher. And so he got us this prom gig. And so it was a prom gig. It was a 2-hour gig, and they were paying us like $800, you know, for like the whole team.
Yep.
And only 3 of us went. And we're sitting there rolling away. And so this is back when like all I ever did was just smoke, get super high, and just say funny ass shit. Ashanafi, if you ever talk to Ashanafi could tell you all of my material.
Wish I would have knew that last night. I could have talked to him. I hung out with him last night. So.
Yeah. He'd be like, oh, John, man, all you ever did was talk about fucking white bitches and smoking weed. Going to class late. And so we're in there, and we didn't really get much information beforehand. I'm in the car, you know what I'm saying? I'm high, you know, and he goes, oh yeah, by the way, there's no swearing. You can't talk about sex or drugs. And so I was like, oh, that's all I talk about. and then he goes, and then he goes, yeah, and I got about 15 minutes, right? And so, you know, anything about, you know, being booked, you got to do the whole time.
Yeah, because you own a show if you want to get paid.
Exactly. And so the other comic goes, oh, okay, I got about 7, maybe 10. And I was like, yo, this is a 2-hour gig. And they're like, yeah, man, you're gonna have to do the other hour and a half. Legit, like, no.
They're just like, yeah,
legit. They were like, yeah, we know you can do it. And so before then, I never wrote a joke. I had been doing comedy about a year and a half, then maybe 2 years at the most. And I had never wrote a joke. To be honest, I based how funny I was off of an open mic where it was only 10 people there weekly. And I was the funniest person there. And they like, yo, man, you funny. And I'm like, yeah, it's only 10 of us here. You know what I'm saying? And we're all comics. And so, and I didn't really know it, you know, like I never really, that was like our first actual like gig.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I got to figure it out. And so we're all the way out. West Minnesota at a casino, I think it was off a reservation or something. And it was just, man, white kids, you know? And so I was like, okay, let me see what I can do. So I took some paper and a pencil. I smoked a blunt. I came in, I sat down, and I just observed this crowd. And I was like, okay, these kids have on, a suit. It was one of them had like a neon orange, and it was the camo. It was a neon orange camo tree suit. And one had an actual like, you know, camo tree suit, like, you know, like. And so I was like, okay, cool, you know what I'm saying? So I just started jotting down different things, and then I started putting down like what I was doing in school, and then I started writing in like different jokes that could be, you know, that could be interpreted a certain way. And like I came up with like, I want to say maybe like an hour and 10 minutes of material. And how I write jokes is kind of just like this. Like I take something funny and then I say, okay, let me 3 points, like, okay, an outline, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, yeah, so I was up there and, I did it. No swearing. I didn't talk about drugs. I just made references where the crowd was like, Oh, I see what you did there. And they loved it. And I was like, man, this is the, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, yo, this is the first time I ever did a show where I wrote for it, you know? And cause I was only, man, I was thinking like, yo, we all finna do 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? 30 yeah, or 40 yep, minutes. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Like nothing
you were gonna
crazy.
Divide the time.
Exactly. Equally. And I swear it was supposed to be like 6 of us. And like, I get to the car, it's only 3 of us. And I was like, oh, okay, well. What are we going to do now? And they were like, well, you're going to do what you do every night at the open mic. You're going to save our asses. And so that's what ended up happening is that I saved the team. You know what I'm saying? Chris and Alex, you owe me. And they gave me
$500. Oh, well, that's good.
Yep.
You got most of the
score.
Yep.
So they split $150 and they gave me $500. And then, well, they split $300.
Yeah.
$150 each. And then, yep. And then I got the $500. And then from there, man, we were doing all different types of shows. We were, I did a few like art galas. We did one art gala where it was like just 2 old couples. It's just 4 people in the crowd. And like, I just started talking about, cause I spent a lot of my childhood in Mississippi, like on the farm and stuff. And so we were kind of like in like a small town in the middle of the country somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I was just talking to them about, you know, like getting whoopings and, you know, shucking peas. And they were like, they're like, man, we used to do that too. And, you know, it was a great time. But yeah, so yeah, that was the longest time I ever been on stage. It was an hour and a half. Well, doing comedy, that is.
Yeah.
And yeah, they, man, those kids loved it. They, you know,
that's amazing. That's awesome that you were able, and that's smart to go in there and just start observing the crowd, because then I'm sure you were able to work in some crowd work.
Yeah.
And I just did a prom dinner a couple weeks, not more than a couple weeks now, I guess a couple months ago. And it was not a great situation or whatever, but that's something that I noticed. The first comic did a little bit of crowd work, and the audience was kind of, they were kind of into it. I mean, they still weren't like totally on board.
Yeah.
And part of that is like, they're all high school seniors and we're 3 middle-aged men. Like,
yeah.
I don't think we were the right comics for that crowd anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was
we're
like
talking
20.
About life. We're talking about marriage and divorces and, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like, they don't care.
Yeah. I was talking about the woes of college, you know?
Yeah.
I remember one of the jokes was like, yo, man, when you go to college, man, you gotta do it. You know, like you gotta wake yourself up, you gotta get to class, you gotta take notes, you know? There's no one there to guide you, your mom's not there to check your work, you know? Like, man, I was struggling, you know.
But great.
It was just super funny. I was just coming up with like different things. You know, and just saying, you know, just being like, look at all the cool kids over here, you know, and everyone was like, yeah, those are the cool kids. I'm like, yeah, I know you're the cool kids. I know what you guys do. And you know, and that's when I was coming like, oh, I know what you guys do when you skip school, you know.
Yeah.
You play video games. And then like everybody was like, yeah, we play video games. Sure you do.
Yeah, that's one thing. So I primarily work clean, and that's one thing that I like about it is when you can still make references to things like that, and then a lot of times they get a better laugh as opposed to if you directly make that.
Yeah,
because you're creating the I can't think of the word right now that I want to use, but yeah.
The suspense.
Yeah, the suspense and the allure that you're you're
what you're alluding to,
But you're not going directly and just saying.
I made a joke. One of the teachers had 2 phones, and I was like, you know who else has 2 phones? doctors. And she was like, you got me a couple times. I was like, yeah, I know. It was. I was like, I do this. I've been working on this for a while. a whole 10, 20, I think it was like 15 minutes. I wrote all that material. I was just like, I'm going to talk about this and talk about relationships and talk about football and, you know, and like, man, and we just got to it, you know? Yeah. And the funny thing is that like the other two comics, they were struggling way harder.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah. How did the other comics do?
It was down here from the beginning. It was,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that like, they got that, I don't know what to, I don't really know how to explain it, but like, you know how, you know, when people are too imaginative,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so their jokes are like way out there. Like
silly, kind of weird.
And it was just like, yo, like, man, these kids don't care about that office humor.
Yeah.
You know,
or they just can't. They just don't get it.
Yeah. They're
it's
like,
too far out
like,
there.
What? You know, you know, like one of my guys, he used to always talk about how he used to work at this, he used to work at one of the grocery stores, and every day, like old people just like old women, like, would just poop on the floor. And you got to clean it up. And I'm like, yo, these kids don't want to hear about pooping on the floor.
Yeah, anyway. Right? They don't want to see their future.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, these kids want to see the cool black guy with the, I don't even know if I had dreads then. I think I did. I think I had like the little small ones.
Okay.
Like, it was like little tiny. Like, yo, like, we want to see this black guy, you know what I'm saying? Tell us about his escapades in college.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Which is very relatable. I mean, cause yeah, that's, you know, they're about to experience that. So I
yeah,
can see
exactly.
And that
yeah.
goes back to me, like, you know, when it comes to booking, knowing and going back to knowing the audience, but it as whoever booked that, you know, they should have been thinking about things like that.
Yeah.
You know, like who, you know, we got to have a comic that's going to be good for this crowd.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've known, like with colleges and, you know, like these prom events and stuff like that, I can admit, I am not the demographic. I'm not the comic for that demographic.
Yeah, true.
Like, when it comes to, you know, when you're going to pick a comic to go do a college or go do a high school prom, I shouldn't be at the top of that list.
he's like, maybe like in the middle.
Yeah, and I'd say closer, but bottom, middle, mid to bottom.
Man.
On there. Because it's more, it's not that I can't be funny, but it's the relatability.
Exactly.
A younger comic is going to be more relatable to age group than somebody in their 40s.
We were like 3 years apart at the most.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, yo, like some of them girls are old enough, you know what I'm saying, for me not to get in trouble if we want. Like, it's some 18-year-olds out there, you know. But, you know, but like that's the funny thing about that whole situation was that everyone else was approaching it like, oh, this is like a regular gig. Like, no, you know, these are kids, you know, like in a sense, you know, so you just want to like, what did you laugh at when you were a kid? You know what I'm saying? Like, man, we used to fart in class and it was funny. You remember that? Like, you know, like they, you know what I'm saying? They don't want jokes, so they got to think about like why that joke was funny. You know, they want like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ever seen somebody get in a fight in school?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Like, yeah. You know, no, you're right. That's all stuff now as I'm sitting here thinking about my experience at that prom dinner. I'm like, you know, I should have talked about some of them because I have some funny things that happened when I was in school that would have been relatable. But,
man, you know.
You know? But I also got booked last minute on that gig. Like, I wasn't originally on the, like, somebody canceled. And so, like, I just got, like, booked that afternoon.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. But. And I didn't really have any idea what I was getting into until we were like going, and then they're like, oh yeah, this is a prom dinner. And I'm like, what?
How long did they have you do though?
We each did, they cut my time because they wanted to like speed up the show a little bit, which I was fine with, but we were each supposed to do like 25 minutes or 25 to 30.
Got it.
But they were, after the first comic, they were like, yeah, let's speed up the show. And it was because, and he did a little bit of crowd work, but it was funny because he did like one opening joke. And the principal was already getting freaked out because he and it wasn't like even that racial, but he's half Japanese. And
was it Alex?
No, Kyle Yamada was the comic.
Oh.
And he was just in here earlier today. I recorded an episode with him too.
Nice.
That will come out, but he Yeah, he's half Japanese, and he made reference to that, and then he made reference to a couple Asian kids in the crowd, and the principal like was about to freak out about it. But like, it was, but the kids
like,
were
Asian
enjoying
hate.
It. Yeah, the kids were like, but they were enjoying it because he was making them part of the show or whatever. But yeah, it was crazy because it was like I said, it wasn't that bad. He was just talking about his upbringing, his experience. Yeah,
what it was like being here in America.
Yeah, I mean, because he does. I imagine he did have a unique upbringing because, you know, he is half Japanese and he was raised in South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, he's got a different experience.
People always looked at him like, something different about you.
Yeah. So it wasn't even that bad. But after that, after his set, they were like, yeah, let's kind of speed this up. And they could tell that the kids weren't. You know, the kids were getting a little restless and, you know, they wanted prizes and all the fun stuff.
I did a prom before TikTok and Vine and stuff. So. They had to look at me. No one was on their phone. Yeah, right. They had to be engaged. This new era, these new kids, man, what?
Yeah.
You can't hold their attention for 35 seconds.
No, you'd be better off just putting a camera up and going live on TikTok and be like, all right, everybody, just tune in on TikTok.
Exactly.
<me here."
laughs> Right in front of them. Like, oh.
I know. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, literally just set it up.
They're all in the crowd like.
Yeah, it was funny though because I did manage to get some kids to come sit up front because it was also a weird setup. Like we were on an elevated, like not a stage, but it was like a riser, but it was like a riser where they could put other tables and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they were all like kind of down, and there was like a fence type thing in front of us or whatever. But so yeah, so there was a little distance between us and the crowd too, and I was like made some jokes and I was like, yeah, this table's empty. I don't know why you guys didn't want to sit right next to the comics or whatever. I don't know what it was, but I ended up getting there. Like there was a couple kids in the back that were really laughing at a lot of my stuff, and I was like, all right, I need you guys to come to this table.
They're like, okay, cool,
and
man.
They did. Yeah, they were like, yeah. And they sat there at that table for the rest of the show, too. So that even when the comic came up after me, they stayed up there for him, too.
That's dope, man.
So that was pretty cool.
I DJed an eighth grade graduation a few weeks, probably like a month or two ago. And, like, all these kids were, like, just in love with me. And I'm like, yo, I'm just a DJ, man.
Let me do my
job. like the teacher walked by and it was like 20, like literally like 20 kids behind my DJ booth, and they were all like just touching stuff and asking me questions, and they was like, it's like, yo man, you know, I'm like, yo, stay in school, don't do drugs. You know, and so at the end of the night the teacher goes, man, I've never seen and they've been using our company for years, and it was like, we've never seen someone so as like chill as you. She was like, can we book you for next year? And I'm like, I mean, that's like a year away. I don't know if I plan my life that far in advance, but you can put it in the notes, you know. And like, but it was just so funny. Like it was like yo, it was a private school, like 90% of the kids are white. It was like one black kid. It was like one of those black kids where like he didn't even know he was black. And it was just like behind my booth just asking me questions, touching stuff, like, yo, can I pick a song? And I was just showing them how to DJ and stuff like that. And I'm like, yo, like this is like, this equipment's like 20 years old. Like, there's no way you're gonna break it. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? This is like, we've been using this since the end of the 90s. Okay, so you're good. You know,
like if you manage to break this, then it was time to retire the equipment.
Exactly. You know, like they gonna send me with a new turntable next week. So don't even worry about it. But yeah, man, it was just like such a great time, and it's like a lot of times you just got people that gravitate differently, you know, that people just gravitate to.
Yeah,
you know, like brides hate me at weddings. They're like, why are all my friends talking to you? I'm like, I don't know. You know, like they always want to come and talk about race. They're like, yo, you know about Black Lives Matters and police brutality? Like nope, never heard of any of the two. Like, let me just play this Sweet Caroline so I get up out of here.
Put my headphones back on and go back to work.
I think that's what it is. I don't wear headphones when I'm DJing. I trust that the next song is the right song.
Yeah. That's great. Have you ever DJed and hosted a show?
Yeah.
Like hosted a comedy show or any show from behind the DJ booth?
Yeah, I just did that at the Crane a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
That was the first time I ever did it because I just bought DJ equipment like a month and a half ago.
How was that? How was it?
It was great. It That's was awesome. Yeah, it was smooth, and you know, and people were like loving it more because John wasn't on the microphone for 2 minutes between each comic, and they're like, I'm like, man, that person only did 3 minutes. We're doing five. Like, let me get that too. You know, like no, we want to get on stage. I'm like, all right, you know what?
fine. No, that's awesome. That's great. When you have a set that doesn't go well, or you tell a joke that bombs, what goes through your mind at that moment?
I used to question, like, oh, it was like maybe I said it wrong, maybe my timing was off, but like now I just transition. I've mastered the art of that wasn't a joke.
That was me just talking.
Yep. I've mastered the, cause I feel like a lot of times when you tell a joke and it doesn't go the way you want it, people are just like, maybe there's more to the joke, you know?
Yeah.
So I just keep going, like, until I get a laugh, and I'm like, see, there's the laugh, you know? Like,
that was the joke.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest was set up.
You know, as long as you're engaged and not talking, like, that's the best. Like, mm-hmm. You know, and you can work your way out of anything just being versatile. I'm like a chameleon on stage. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, that joke didn't work. Well, let me tie that joke to this person sitting right in front of me, you know? Like,
yep.
Let me tie this joke to the bar. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about being able to adapt in the moment and saying that, like, okay, you weren't supposed to laugh at that. But you're supposed to laugh at this,
yeah. You know?
And so, like, that's and yeah. So, like, that's how I look at it. Like, man, like, you're only on stage for, you know, at minimum 3 minutes. You know, yep. Maximum an hour.
Yeah,
you know. But the thing is that you should never let that split moment ruin the rest of the time that you're going to be on stage. All right. They didn't laugh, you know, but you don't have to acknowledge that they didn't laugh. You know, like, I hate when comics go, da, da, da. Oh, y'all. So y'all didn't think that was funny. It's like,
I do that sometimes as a save.
Yeah.
It's more of an acknowledging it. Like, if I'm doing a joke, and not just one joke, like, it has to be like a couple. Like, mm-hmm. If I'm doing a couple jokes and maybe it's the same topic or whatever that I'm talking about and they're not into it, sometimes I will acknowledge that. I'll be like, all right, you're not interested in this. Okay,
yeah, that's
fine.
But that's different than, you know, attacking the crowd, you know?
Yeah,
oh, y'all don't think that's funny? You know,
that's what I'm saying.
That's my best joke. Like,
No. Like, okay. Yeah. When I do it, I'm like, acknowledging that they just don't like the joke.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me move on. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, taking it in another direction that's going to keep your spirits up as a comedian. Like, because what people don't understand is that, like, people are there to have fun. Comedy is supposed to be fun. Like, yeah, there's some serious elements, there's some dark elements, but all in all, you want to be having fun. So if you're on stage and you don't look like you're having fun, or you don't feel like you're having fun, or if they feel like you're not having fun, they not having fun.
Nope.
And so it's like, you just want to like, that's all it is. You just want to make
energy in the room. The exactly. Crowd. Yeah, I mean, we, as performers and audiences, we feed off each other's energy.
Yeah.
If you have bad energy, the crowd's going to have bad energy. If you have good energy, they're going to have good energy.
You know? And what helps with that is having a great host. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want you to know that right now, having a great host always helps with the energy.
It definitely does.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. People, like you said, people forget that the crowd came in to have a good time, and they often forget people don't go to a comedy show hoping you bomb. You know what I mean? Like, nobody comes to a show like,
they want
to
laugh
hoping
too.
You suck. They are rooting for you. They want you to win. They want you to be funny.
The only people aren't rooting for you are other comics. Yeah. And so when like, that's why I always try to reiterate to people, like, you didn't bomb at an open mic. All right, other comedians didn't laugh at you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, that is it. Like, your material could have been the funniest of the night, but they're up there like, man, when do I get to go up?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I could have told that joke better. You know what he could add to that joke? Like, that's all comedians are thinking.
Yes.
But like, the crowd is there and they're like, man, I'm drunk as hell. You know, this dude funny. You know what I'm saying, man? You got to keep it coming. You know, like, that's the difference between telling jokes in front of an actual crowd and telling jokes in front of comics. Like, when you bomb in front of comics, it's not really a bomb. It's a learning situation. Yep. We're like, okay, majority of these comics didn't come to laugh. They came to perform. They came, you know.
They're like, in their heads thinking about what they're going to do.
You know?
Do.
So, like, that's why I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good at making comedians laugh because I don't really care, you know? Like,
it's just like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can laugh, you can not laugh, you know? Like, but I'm up here, you know what I'm saying, practicing just like you're practicing.
Yep.
But I'm practicing the one-day performance in front of a crowd.
Yep.
You're just up here trying to figure out what it is you want to even be doing in life, you know?
Yeah, yep,
like,
that's true.
It's comedy for me, you know, like,
and
that's why I want to start taking a different approach on, like, putting together shows and showing comedians and comics, like, yo, this is what it's like to be in front of a real crowd. This is the career that you're trying to make a choice on if you really want to do this. This is where you learn if you are or not who you want to, who you believe you are, you know, and like not every crowd is going to be good for every comic and not every comic is good for every crowd, but it still gives you a good leeway of like saying like, okay, I can do this on a regular basis and get booked and get paid, you know, versus, you know, going to an open mic where there's no one there that's really going to be looking to book you. There's no one there that's really going to be looking to give you nice, positive, good feedback. Like most comedians, when they see a new comic, they're like, oh, let me tell you what you did wrong.
Yeah.
You know,
let me
tell you what you did wrong.
If they talk to him at all.
Exactly. I'm like, bro, it took all the confidence he ever had to come up there today of all days. And the first thing you tell him is like, you know what you did wrong up there? You know what I'm saying? You know how you were standing up there? You was doing wrong. He's like, now they're like, man, like, I
don't want any of this.
I was finally comfortable, you know?
Yep. Like, well, yeah. And I think that's, it's all about the approach too. Like, I know when I first started comedy, if I bombed at an open mic, it would hit me hard. But over the years, I've changed my mindset because when I look at an open mic, I approach it as, I don't care if I make the comics or anybody else, you know, even the audience laugh. Obviously I want the laughs, but if I don't get them, that's not my objective at an open mic. And an open mic, I'm working, I have goals. I have specific goals. I'm either working on a new joke or I'm working on a new way of telling an old joke or trying a different flow or order or something. I'm working on something at the open mic. So to me, that's going to the gym. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to the gym and working out something. You know, it's like having a leg day, arm day, whatever it is. That's what an open mic is to me. So now if I don't do well at an open mic, I don't care. As long as I accomplish what I came there to do.
Exactly. One of my close friends, and he was a business partner of mine, Sam, he recently passed. I don't know if you ever met him, but, he met me, we met recently in November. And so we got to working real close together and I'm still working on a lot of stuff we were planning. But, one day he had like a heart to heart. We sat down in a meeting and he had a heart to heart with me. He was like, yo, John, man, I really think you can be doing way better than you have been doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you're not going to be the comedian that you think you are because you don't be going as hard as you could at these open mics. And so I put him up to the side and was like, hey man, I love that you brought that to my attention, you know, cause that shows that, you know what I'm saying, that you believe in me, you know, but you gotta know me before. you gotta see me really perform. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're in the middle of COVID. Like, only thing I've ever done was just host open mics. He never even see me, like, perform at an open mic.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? And so, he just see me hosting the open mic at the, you know? And so, even when I do open mics, I always do, like, the jokes. If I had no animation, no actual, you know, like no real style to it. You know what I'm saying? I just want to know that the base of the joke is funny, you know? And so like, that's all he's ever seen me do. And so, I did a show a couple months back with my brother, who's also a DJ. He does shows and I invited Sam. And Sam was like, oh man, I'm gonna be there, man. I want to see you. And so I was only planning on doing about 30 minutes. So I did about 25 minutes. Sam wasn't there. At about 30 minutes, Sam walks in the door and I look at my brother and I'm like, hey, is it okay if I'm up here a while? And he's like, oh, you do your thing. And so I do a whole nother 30 minutes to show Sam. that I really do this comedy shit. And at the end of the night, Sam walks up to me and goes, "Hey man, I'm sorry I ever doubted you. I'm about to take back all those. I'm taking back everything I said. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really do your thing." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, cause I had already did 30 minutes of solid material that I just worked on, you know, and then I did like just 30 minutes of just like different stuff that I knew was always funny." Yep. You know what I'm saying? But it was just funny because, like, everyone was like, "Dang, like, I didn't know you was going to do another 30 minutes. I'm like, "Yeah, I know, man." But then Sam walked in the door, so I had to.
Had to prove,
you know?
I had to prove it.
I had to show him that, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? You got to know I really do this. We can't be in tune, you know what I'm saying, working together if you can't edify me the way I deserve to be edified as a person. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want you to be going talking to people like, "Yeah, man, I got this comedian I work with. His name John." You know what I'm saying? I mean, he be doing okay at open mics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
I'm
exactly.
Like, no, I'm like, I
that's
want you to.
That's why I mean, you want to have audiences at open mics, but you're also, it's like, I don't want to invite people to the open mic because I don't want them to see me. Because then I don't want that to represent me as a comic. Because it's like, I'm just working material out. That's not a representation of what I can do on stage.
Man, exactly, man. And
everyone, it's like, buy a ticket and come see me at a show.
Yeah.
You're going to get a whole different comic.
All these other places, they need a comedy night.
Yep.
Because comedy nights are usually on a slow night where, like, most people aren't coming in. And guess who's buying drinks?
Yep.
The comics.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Right? No, so, I get the whole purpose.
You know, so, like, that's what I try to give you to understand. Like, yo, like, I get that you love doing these open mics and you feel like they're, like, the serious thing. But it's, like, it's really practice.
Yeah.
But they're more serious than they should be because it's only, like, 15 of them. You know, you go other places, they got 100 open mics.
Yeah.
You know, you go down to Texas or Atlanta or Cali or New York, they got 100 open mics that you can go to on a weekly basis.
Some of them have, you know, up to 10 a day.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like,
they have like open mics that start like 3 in the afternoon.
You can go hit like 5 of them in a day. Yep. Like, and so, and that's what I try to get people to understand is that like here, it's not that we have, I don't like to say it's not like we have a bad scene. We have a great comedy scene. It's just everyone's mindset towards the open mic it's way more important than what it really is. They really try to define who they are, or how good they are, or how bad they are based solely off of these open mics. And I'm like, yo, like, you can go start an open mic tomorrow. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can go to a brewery and say, "Hey, man, I got a PA system, man. Can I come and do an open mic here?" Majority of the time, they're going to say, "Yeah." Like, "Oh, what day does no one come in?" They're like, "Tuesdays." "Okay, get nice. I'll have us 15 to 20 comics coming in here every Tuesday." They're not going to say no. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's going to bring them business. You know, like every 90% of comedians drink at the open mics. Okay. Yep. So, but yeah, and like, that's the whole thing is that, like, these open mics aren't as serious as they are. Like, they try to make you seem. And then, cause it's not the 90s anymore. It's not the 80s. You know, like, no one's trolling open mics to see, like, "Oh, man, I really like that comic, man. Let's see if we can get him signed to a 10-figure deal."
Yep.
"Let's see if we can get him in the movie, man. Maybe get him a sitcom." You know, like, no one's doing that anymore. Like, I tell people, man, your biggest audience is on your phone. Who do you get the most likes from? On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, that's very true. I mean, the people that are supporting you on social media are probably going to be the ones that'll support you the most throughout your whole career. That's for sure. But that made me laugh when you were talking about people coming trolling open mics or whatever. I remember doing a show in San Diego. It was just a bar show. It wasn't an open mic. It was like a book show, but it wasn't like, it was like a show on a Monday night at a bar. And like afterwards, I was standing outside and this guy come up to me. He's like, "Oh man, you were really funny." He was super drunk.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh man, you're super funny. I just want to introduce myself and blah, blah, blah. I'm the booker for the Tonight Show with, you know," and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, "Man, I want to fly you out and have you do a set on the Tonight Show." And I'm like, "Oh, you know." And anytime somebody comes up to me like this, I take it with a grain of salt. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I don't believe anybody says. Like, not till you show me.
Yeah, exactly.
Not till you show me these receipts. And I'm like, you got a business card? He's like, well, I ran out of business cards, blah, blah, blah. But here, I'll take my number. He wrote his number on a napkin or some shit.
It was like, wrong.
I was just like, okay, buddy, go back in there and have another five drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
And please don't drive home.
Yeah, that's the world we live in, man, where I feel like I sound like a broken record sometimes to comics when we're having like little small talks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, yo, man, y'all gotta stop falling into that trap of like, you gotta pay your dues. Like, the people on Instagram didn't have to pay dues.
Yeah.
They just went on Instagram and was funny. You know, and then now you got, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm never going to downplay someone that is out there making money doing whatever, but a lot of these Instagram comics aren't real stand-up comedians.
Yeah, that's true.
But now they're able to be booked as stand-up comedians just based off of the fact that they have a huge following.
Yeah, they got drawability. People will pay to see them.
Exactly. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And then all they got to do is just do what they do on the camera, you know?
Yep, and as long as their audience came to see them, they're going to have a good time if they do what they did on camera.
Exactly. Yep. I'm like, yo, man, like, y'all, you know, like, if you take that same energy that you put into these open mics and just put it into on your phone, you know what I'm saying? Yep. You'll grow more exponentially.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Do you, now, when you have a bad set or a joke doesn't work, do you do anything in particular to try to analyze it and figure out what went wrong and how to fix it? What do you do?
I usually, a lot of times it's either wording or timing.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel like a lot of stuff that's funny to me is funny to people, you know? Like, so like, if I say something and I laugh at it, I'm like, oh, God, that's funny, you know? but then it's how I'm saying it. You know, like a lot of times, you know, it might be like I may say it wrong, or the timing might have been wrong, you know, or I might have just said it in the wrong setting. And so now I'm looking at, okay, what if I invert the joke? What if I have the punchline go first and then tell, you know what I'm saying? Or like have the punchline in the middle, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Whatever it is I'm trying to do with this joke, you know what I'm saying? Like the 98% of women are crazy joke that I used to do all the time. You know, I had all these jokes that was like statistics. You know what I'm saying? So I always did them like in a group. So 98% of women are crazy. You know what I'm saying? And then, but I sometimes do the marriage and divorce one first, and then do, cause you know why. Because 98% of all women are crazy. And then, you know, and so, just in that sense of like, okay, it didn't work the first time when I did it like this. Yeah. Like, but what if I bring that and put it after the marriage statistic, you know? And then.
So kind of rearranging the pieces.
Exactly. You know, cause a lot of times that might be what it is that, you're hitting them with too much at once, or you're not leading them the right way at first, or, you know, it's so many different ways of comedy to, you know what I'm saying, to make something funny. Like, if we were talking about this button, you know what I'm saying? Like, do I talk about the back of the button first before I reveal, that this is the button, or do I show you that this is the button, but then I show you the makeup of this button? Like, that's how I look at the joke. Is that like, you know what I'm saying? Do I show you, am I going to tell you why it's funny, or, tell you the fun, you know what I'm trying to say?
No, absolutely. It's the reveal. You're like, do I do the reveal right away?
Yeah.
Or do I wait and then do the reveal later?
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, do I, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you're at somebody's house, you're watching Netflix, she goes to the restroom, come back, like, am I already naked?
Or is she naked?
Or do I wrap my arm around her and then hopefully we get naked? You know? No, I'm joking. But no.
See how this goes. See how this plays out.
Yeah.
Now, the bumming and bombing, that's coined on here, the bumming and bombing, that's the dreadful feeling you get after you bomb. How does that affect you, and how long does it typically last for you?
For me, man, I feel like it's that moment, you know, of like, damn, like, man, I didn't do what I wanted to do. And so like maybe the drive home, you know, but, I'm not one of those people that's like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, like, I'm like, yo, when I made that $500 at that prom, I was like, oh, comedy is what I'm doing. comedy is what I'm, I dropped out of,
the I dropped deal out was of, sealed.
I dropped out of two schools. I dropped out of two schools to pursue comedy. All right. This, I'm not done. The most that I ever think about is like, should I stop focusing on helping other people and just focus on myself? Nope. Like that is like, that's the only conversation that I really have in my head when it comes to like my focus of comedy.
Yep.
You know, other than that, it's like when I bomb, I'm like, okay, that happened. It didn't go the way it went, but I'm like, man, I've done 1,000 sets of comedy and, you know, they were all great. So, you know, I can't let this one deter me from my goal and my dream of being a true stand-up comedian, you know what I'm saying, full time and using that to pay all my bills instead of just partly right now. But it's still like, yo,
that's a good perspective, because it definitely, with comedy, and I know that for myself, that one, you can let that one set totally genuinize or disinvalue, whatever word you want to use, your whole career, even though you've had plenty of sets where you did fine. It's like, you got to like look back, you got to be like, oh, wait a minute. This is just one bad night. I've had many good ones.
Exactly.
Don't let this one ruin the fun.
It's like having sex. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the first time I ever came early, I was like, what? You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm getting old, you know? And then I thought like, you know what? She deserved that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how many great successions I done gave her? You know what I'm saying? And she crying over the one time I came early. You know, like, you know what? Screw you. That is on you. You know, like, that's how I look at it. I'm like, yo, man, I've been having great sex forever and I had one bad night. You know what I'm saying? And now you won't let me live it down. Okay. Like, it's like, man, like I've been doing this for a long time. And I can't let, you know what I'm saying, the couple times, you know what I'm saying, deter me from, you know, and like, I feel like that's how everyone should look at it, you know, like stop looking at, you know what I'm saying, what's happening at open mics or even at a show, you know, like no one's blackballing you out here because you suck, you know, no one's like, you know what, man, we're not putting Dan up anymore at this open mic. You know what I'm saying? No, like if someone tells you that you're not getting up at an open mic no more, go to another open mic.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like somebody said they're not going to book you for a show, find somewhere else to get booked. Yep. Like don't let, you know what I'm saying, the bomb hurt you because a lot of times you're telling jokes in front of a crowd that's not your crowd.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I tell this comedians all the time, somebody gonna think that's funny, you know? You know, but they might not be in Minnesota, you know? You know what I'm saying? You might gotta go to Iowa for them corny jokes, okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, you might gotta go to Wisconsin, you know what I'm saying, for them Packer jokes, okay? Like,
yep. But somebody's gonna like your joke somewhere. You just gotta find them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. I like to end on more positive stuff. One of my things, nice. I got an Art of Bombing, Get Pumped playlist on Spotify. So I like to add songs that get you pumped. Not necessarily for comedy, but just something. So is there a song that gets
Dreams
you pumped?
Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill. I don't know if you ever heard that song, but it's like, it's the time like this, the sound like this. It's like one of those songs where the beat don't drop until like later on. And it's like, hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished? When I bought that Aston Martin, I thought it was finished. And then, man, it's a black song. It's like Living on a Prayer for black people.
Oh, okay. That's a good analogy.
It's like Sweet Caroline for black. It's one of those, whoa, me. It's literally one of those songs where like, when I play it as a DJ, I can like play just like the beginning of the song and it literally take the music away and people will rap the whole thing without even music. They just, man, this is like a dope song.
Oh, that's
you know
awesome.
What I'm saying? And I don't even like Meek Mill.
You just like that one song.
Yeah.
That's great. And then what's been one of your favorite gigs that you've done so far?
Oh, you talking about just overall?
Just overall, yeah. Didn't have to be your best show, or yeah, just one of your favorites.
Yeah, my favorites lately have been the DJ Camp Def Camps. That's my brother, so that's what makes it even doper. But a lot of times I get like a lot of people that I have met over time to come out, and you know what I'm saying, like, mm-hmm. you know, people I went to high school with. It's back in the hood where I grew up in, and it's just a great time because it's like, it's a lot of people that have always told me like, yo man, you should really do comedy, you should really do comedy growing up. And now a lot of those people are will come, you know, because it's like, oh yeah, everybody know DJ Cam Jones, everybody know me, we all from the same neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? So when they see us both on the flyer, they like, oh, I gotta go to this. And so, and every time it's a packed out show, and majority of time I know like 80% of the crowd. I either went to school with them or we grew up around the neighborhood, and it's good to see, you know what I'm saying, to see people that like, you know, you grew up, you know what I'm saying, doing not so good things with, you know, and they seeing that, okay, dang, bro turned his life around and he finally pursuing his dream. And it's almost inspiring to a lot of people, you know, where like, dang, like, you know what I'm saying, I can be doing something like that, you know. So I love doing the Def Camps with my brother DJ Cam, just off the fact that, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm doing it for like people that I really know and love, you know what I'm saying, that they have always wished the best for me, you know what I'm saying, yep. Even the haters, you yep. know what I'm saying.
That's great. That's awesome.
Cause hating niggas ain't happy, and happy niggas ain't hating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I seen you post that today. I was like, yeah, he ain't wrong.
Yeah, hey, I'm not wrong. But yeah. So.
All right. The last thing I like to do is we play a game called Pick a Number. You're going to pick a number between 1 and 20, and I'm going to ask you a corresponding question that may or may not be related to comedy.
Okay. My favorite number is 8. So.
All right, 8 it is. What's the most useless talent you have?
Most useless talent I have. Man, I can do the thing with your stomach where you roll your stomach.
Oh, yep. Like, okay. Yeah,
I can roll, like, where it's just my stomach rolling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Remember, like them weird ass kids who did that shit back when we were kids, you know? Like, the one kid that could, like, flip his eyebrow, like, his eyelids yep. up, you yep. know what I'm saying? Or the kid used to roll his eyes. Like, yeah, I was like that kid that's
make
like, oh,
his
yeah.
eyes all white and, yeah. like, creepy. Yep.
Yep. So I can, like, roll my stomach and it just looks weird. You know? It's even weirder now that I'm fat. Cause I used to do it when I had an APAC, and so it's like, it was weird then, but like now it's just like, it's like, yeah, man, the whole thing don't roll no more. You know? It's like the top and then the bottom. It's like you see it rolling and then you see it like a pause and then you see the bottom go.
It's like it's more like a flop than yeah. a roll now.
it's like a delay in there somewhere.
I love it. Oh, that's great. All right, well, this has been great. Where can people find you online?
You can find me at X the Genius. That's on Instagram. I do have a Twitter, but I only follow like porn stars and stuff on there. So I never give that one out. And then I'm just John Stiffin on Facebook, STIFFIN. You know, I'm trying to get on TikTok more. I'm just so old, you
yeah,
know?
It's
like,
tough.
Yeah, man. Like I see like people like, yo, you got to get a TikTok, man. And I'm like, man, that TikTok is just, you know, and I feel like, man, I'm the type of person where like I'm on there and I'm trying to see what other people are doing. Next thing you know, I'm 3 hours on TikTok, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
20 infinite swipes down.
Just like suddenly you're like, just like in this weird rabbit hole. Yeah.
Rabbit hole of TikTok. I've done it on YouTube plenty of times. Yep. I'm the king of random facts.
and then Black Sheep Comedy, they have their, you have your own Instagram for that too, right?
Yeah, I do have my own Instagram for that. It's Got Wool Comedy. GOTWOOL Comedy. That's on Instagram. We named it that because there's Black Sheep Comedy was already taken.
Well, that's a good reason to yeah, go so that route.
Really. And one of the first pieces of merch that we did was Black Sheep Got Wool. It's like you gotta learn how to embrace your flaws. I'm deep. Don't tell nobody. I'm like, you know what
all
I'm
right.
saying?
Don't listen to him. He doesn't want you to know he's deep.
Man,
right.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm woke. I don't know if you saw the crystals. I got the crystals on. You know what I'm saying? I'm woke out here in these streets. You know.
Oh, gee, yeah, I didn't see that. Now
you know
I
what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm out here balancing the truck or something. This girl's like, you know what stones you have in your hair? I'm like, of course I do. She's like, well, in case you didn't, it's a opal in a tiger's eye. I'm like, yeah, because you know what I'm saying? I'm balancing my chakras. And she was like, exactly. Oh, my God, that's so dope. And I just walked away and was like, man, she'd be mad if she found out that these are just to hold my hair down.
This is just weight.
Because when I don't wear them, they stick straight out right there. Because they used to be part of my fade, which is a black thing. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't expect you to understand.
Yep. You're right.
He's like, oh, a fade? What is that? But yeah, so this used to be where I cut my hair. I used to have like a cool little thing there, and then I was like, man, I'm tired of that shit. Because you got to spend like $40, and I'm like, man, I'm tired of spending $40 every month for a haircut. You know,
I know, it's ridiculous. That's why sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I had hair. And then I'm like, I'm glad I'm bald.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm
just saying? Like use a buzzer and do it myself to keep it short. I don't have to pay $40 for a haircut. It's
great. My dad's the same. When I was young, my dad used to cut me bald. He used to be like, look, cut it all off. Then we'll be back in 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, but back then haircuts were like less than $10. They were cheap.
Yeah, they were. They were still cheap. Yeah, it was still cheap.
Yeah,
and my dad was still like, hey, we'll be back in 10 months. We'll be back in 2 months. Cut it all off. I used to be sad because I used to be trying to grow like a little afro. He'd be like, that. Cut it all.
Call it all.
My dad wasn't going for none of the braids and stuff. See, man, my family from Mississippi, man, and you know, it was a different world back in them 90s and them 80s, man. And you know, I couldn't get my ears pierced. You know, anything you did is like, hey, I ain't been no sissy boy. You know? He'd be like, dang, you know what I'm saying? Like people be like, man, like why, you know what I'm saying? Like, why are people down south like that? I'm like, man, they was true Christians. You know what I'm saying?
It's a Bible belt.
Exactly. I looked my granddad in the eye and told him, like, I don't believe in Jesus. And he was like, so what are you saying? So you want to go to hell? I just don't believe. You know what? You're right. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
We'll just end it.
You know what? You're just going to move on. Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to fight today, Grandma.
You're not going to change me, and I'm not going to change you.
All right. Well, this has been great. Thanks.
Yeah, Jeff. Man. Thanks, Dan. You know what I'm saying? The art of the bombing.
This has been brought to you by Dead and Mellow. Follow us on all your social media platforms and shop around at deadandmellow.com to see all of our stand-up, music, and podcast releases. Thank you, and God bless America.
All right, see you later.
See you. Are we actually leaving or just it?
The Art of Bombing is a Blitzed Entertainment production, hosted and produced by me, Dan Bublitz Jr. The stand-up spotlight bumper was produced by Joe Nicola Music. The Art of Bombing theme music was written and performed by John Holt. All other music was used under Creative Commons licensing. All stand-up audio clips were used with permission from the comedians. You can help the podcast by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating, and a review. For previous episodes, merch, blogs, and more, please visit theartofbombingpod.com. And remember, stay safe so you can live to love.